everybody. Hello, thinking, caring people. Thank you for joining me today. I am Karen Hartglass. You're listening to It's All About Food. Today, I'm dedicating this show to activism. Now, I've been doing this show for over 10 years, and it is all about activism, food activism. But specifically, I wanted to dedicate it in memory of two wonderful activists, two wonderful people who unfortunately died this past week. I'm getting a little choked up just talking about it. But I want to put this out there. David Emanuel was a wonderful person. I met him about 6 years ago. And what I remember about him was his bright eyes, his big smile, his great laugh. And he was very passionate about food and food, feeding the hungry and eliminating food waste. And he spent a lot of time with freeganism, retrieving and saving so much food that's wasted, good food, and making sure that it was given to those who needed it. So we'll miss you, David. And I also want to dedicate this program to Susan Weingartner. I met Susan in the 90s. She was one of the founders of Earth Save Los Angeles, and I met her at a number of events, and I just loved her enthusiasm, her energy, and also a great smile and really a caring activist. And she went on to do lots of wonderful things. She was a photographer and most recently the director of events for Mercy for Animals. And for the last 3 years, she was fighting lung cancer. And I got to connect with her numerous times. And I really thought she'd make it. So just sending some love out to the universe and grateful that these two people walked the planet, David Emanuel and Susan Weingartner. And now that they're gone, we all need to work a little extra harder to support their dreams as well as our own. Okay, we have two phenomenal guest today, and I want to bring on my first guest. I cannot wait to start talking about this topic and speaking with Zen Honeycutt. First and foremost, a mom. I'm going to read her whole bio. It's amazing. She is also an activist, speaker, author, founding executive director of Moms Across America, and co-creator of Mothers Across the World with Dr. Vandana Shiva. While heading Moms Across America, Zen initiated the first testing for glyphosate in tap water, breast milk, and urine, and spearheaded the nonprofit's successful petition to Costco to remove Roundup from their shelves. Happy to speak to anyone interested in better health for all. She has been featured on ABC, CNN, The Dr. Oz Show, The Wall Street Journal, C-SPAN, Fox News, Reuters, Huffington Post, and many other media outlets. Her documentary, Community Rising, highlights efforts across our nation to transform the food supply, and she is the author of Unstoppable, Transforming Sickness and Struggle into Triumph, Empowerment, and a Celebration of Community. So let's bring on Zen Honeycutt. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Karen, and thank you for all your listeners for their time. Thank you.
Well, the first thing I want to do is I want to say that I'm sorry that you had to write this book, Unstoppable, and that you had to write and that you had to found Moms Across America. I'm sure a lot of wonderful things have come out of it, and I'm really grateful that you're doing this wonderful work, and you've probably developed some incredible skills and have become an even more wonderful person. But the fact that our food system is a disaster is a disaster.
Yes, it was not something I ever intended on doing. I thought activists wore too much patchouli and had too much time on their hands and were just outright annoying. I just had no interest in ever being an activist. And then my children got sick, and I did not know what was going on. And slowly over time, once I began to find out about the food supply, I thought, wait a second, I need to do something about this. First for my children and my family, and then when I saw the difference that was made in their lives and their behavior and their learning and their health, I thought, wait a second, it's not enough just for my family to eat organic and for them to get better. their future spouses, I have three boys, their future spouses are out there someday, you know, somewhere. And someday I hope that they could get married. And if they want to procreate and have children, I would like them to be able to do that. And when I learned about what was in the food supply, I thought, wait a second, what's happening with the toxins and the GMOs in the food supply could impinge upon their ability to actually be, you know, to be able to procreate. And so I knew that this was not just my family issue. This is a community issue, and took on the initiative to create Moms Across America and a nationwide movement with the support of many amazing people who are very passionate and creative and committed, much like it sounds like your friends. And I'm very sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
This is exactly why we do what we're doing. There's too many of us that are getting sick and are being affected by the toxins in our environment, and it has to stop.
It has to stop, and it is all about the community. What surprises me is that those who are in power, they have families, they have children. I assume, care about their health. And yet many of them knowingly know that they're putting toxins out in the world for their families and our families. And I know I loved reading your book, Unstoppable. I was riveted. It was just fascinating from cover to cover.
Thank you.
Loved how courageous you have been speaking at the meeting, the shareholders meeting. For Monsanto.
Yes.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
I mean, that's amazing. And looking into the CEO's eyes and having your conversation, your back to back. And that was really wonderful. But how does that person sleep at night?
Yeah, that is a good question. There is a fine line in between being ignorant and, you know, really just not knowing the impact of what they're doing and being essentially evil. You know, my mother really did teach me not to see anybody as evil, to find the good in everyone. Mm-hmm. But I was particularly challenged with the CEO of Monsanto. The only thing that I could do when I met him was to really implore that he do the right thing, right? That to see him as bigger. And that's why I said to him, we look forward to the day when Monsanto creates products which are no longer harming our children. And when he claimed that he wasn't, you know, harming our children, long story short, I said that, well, you know, it takes a big man to make a big and powerful company, but it takes an even bigger man to acknowledge when something's not working and to go in a new direction. And so whether he knew or not what he was actually causing, there would need to be a point when he would either take in a new direction or not. And I think what happened was that he saw that they were in too deep with Roundup and the harm that they were causing. And that's why he sold off the company to Bayer, and he got out, and he, I'm sure, got him, you know, tens of millions of dollars balloon check and is living just fine right now, while millions of other people are impacted by the poisons that he put out into the universe.
Let's talk about glyphosate.
Yes.
Where do we begin? So we've talked about it numerous times on this program, but you did some novel things. So glyphosate, of course, is the main ingredient that we find in Roundup, and there are numerous Roundup ready crops, soy and alfalfa and cotton, and that are designed to resist the poison that's in Roundup so that it can kill the weeds. And the weeds, of course, are really smart, and they're becoming bigger and resistant, so we have to add more of the toxin. Glyphosate has been shown as safe by some. It's been shown as a carcinogenic to those I trust. And it's everywhere now. And you have done tests to show where we can find it.
Yes, and this was actually inspired by by what most people would call the opposition. I was watching a panel with the Heritage Foundation, which is a GMO. It was a GMO promoting a panel. And one of the women on the panel said, you know, the industry's biggest problem, that's the GMO industry's biggest problem, are these mom bloggers who are saying that their children are getting better when they get off GMOs and eat organic. And she was essentially talking about me. And she said, and many of our moms, right? And she said, and they have no evidence. They are perpetuating a fraud on the American people. And so I thought, no evidence, no evidence. Ding, we need to get evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And so I realized that testing for GMOs would be quite complicated because that's a very technical thing. But testing for glyphosate, which 80% of GMOs are engineered to withstand glyphosate, that's the declared active chemical ingredient in Roundup and 750 other glyphosate-based herbicides like Ranger Pro and Ranger Max and things like that. And this is a common weed killer, you know, used, the most common weed killer in the world, actually used in our backyards. But a lot of people still don't know it's used directly on our food supply. And it was originally used on our food supply because when they declared war on bugs and weeds after World War II, you know, the chemical companies needed a new market for their chemicals. They convinced the farmers to use it in their farms, but it started killing their crops. So they had to then genetically engineer the crops to withstand the Roundup, which now has resulted in 80% of our crops are engineered to withstand Roundup and glyphosate-based herbicides. So this herbicide is very prevalent in our food supply, not just because of GMOs, however. It's also sprayed as a drying agent on non-GMO crops, if these are conventional crops, you know, not organic, but on conventional crops such as wheat, peas, beans, soy, legumes, sugar, many different types of crops as a drying agent. And so it's showing up in the majority of our food supply. And I didn't know this at the time, but I thought, you know, if our kids are eating GMOs, they're likely consuming glyphosate because it's on there. And glyphosate might be showing up in their bodies, and I might be able to have evidence to show that GMOs and glyphosate are harming our children. So I bugged a farmer friend of mine who knew a lot of people in the food cause, and after a year and a half, he finally came back and told me that one of his friends that owned a lab had finally invested in glyphosate testing and was able to test for glyphosate. So our initiative was the first one in America back in December of 2012, and by 2013, and then in April of 2014, we were able to release the results that we found, or the lab had found glyphosate in our children's urine, in our tap water, and even in our breast milk, over 3,000 times higher levels than had been found to cause sex hormone changes and liver and kidney damage. So it was appalling and took the food movement and, well, I don't say took, but supported the food movement in a new focus, not just on GMO labeling, but on the amount of pesticides and herbicides in our food supply, particularly glyphosate, which has really opened up the conversation across the country and around the world to reduce agrochemicals and GMOs in our food supply. So many labs now test, and thousands of food samples have now been tested, and 34 different countries restrict or ban the use of glyphosate-based herbicides. Many countries now don't spray glyphosate as a drying agent at all on crops. And so we're happy about the progress. It's taking much too long, but there is progress. It's happening.
We have to focus on that progress in order to stay inspired. Now, like you said, we can avoid GMOs, and more and more people are trying to do that. But we can still get glyphosate in our bodies from places we never thought that they would be. I was just at a diner last week, and normally I like to frequent restaurants that serve organic vegan food. And I happened to have been with a group of people, and this is where they chose. And the only thing that I could get that was at least in the vegan category was oatmeal. But I knew that it would be conventional oatmeal, and I knew that I was getting glyphosate residue, and I just said, I hope it's just very little. But we know it's in there.
Yes.
In Cheerios and all the children's foods.
Yeah, that's the problem. A lot of people don't think about it. Oats, barley, wheat, peas, beans, the white beans. And here's the issue that I love that you brought up vegan, because so many people that eat vegan and vegetarian, and my family members are some of them for sure. We don't realize that it needs to be organic, because if it's not organic, vegans and vegetarians are exposing themselves to the highest levels of glyphosate residues in the entire food supply. And this has been shown from thousands of food tests done in Canada and now in the United States. So those garbanzo beans, that hummus, that wheat in the pita bread, the oatmeal for breakfast, the beans and lentils that you're eating for dinner are all the foods that are going to have the highest levels of glyphosate-based herbicides. Now, the good news is that those oats that you ate may not have had glyphosate, because last year a grain distribution center that receives oats decided to no longer accept oats that were sprayed with glyphosate. And so there is a movement towards not spraying oats with glyphosate. There's also a movement in Canada called Keep It Clean, where the government and the, actually maybe not the government, but the wheat associations are encouraging the wheat growers to not spray wheat with glyphosate as a drying agent, primarily because the consumers in Italy, the Italian grandmas and parents, don't want glyphosate in their pasta. So we're so grateful to them. And so so this just goes to show that consumer purchases do make a difference in what's happening in the food supply. And there are people that are making changes. Also, a barley and grain distributing center in Australia decided to separate the barley and hops that are sprayed with glyphosate versus the ones that are, because the beer manufacturers are calling for barley and hops that are not sprayed with glyphosate. Mm. So there is a shift going, and I'm hoping that within a year or so, when more food testing happens, either by us or by other food companies, that we're going to see less, if not no, glyphosate at all in some of these products like oats and flour and barley and grains. So that's the direction that we want to go in. Whether it's banned or not, we just want it to stop. Right. I mean, we want it banned,
You can mess with the kids' beer. You can mess with the kids' cereal, but don't mess with my beer. Whatever it takes.
It's been found in wine as well. Yeah. So it's very disturbing and sad for us to see that the report that we did finding glyphosate in our children's urine and tap water and breast milk did not get nearly as much media attention as the glyphosate in wine report. That got a lot of attention.
That's so classic. Now, as individuals, can we have our own urine and breast milk tested for glyphosate?
Absolutely, yes. On our website, on Moms Across America, if you click on action, you can see glyphosate testing. And you can go to we mentioned several different labs on there. So you can do that as well. It's under data, get tested for glyphosate under data on momsacrossamerica.org.
That's good to know, everybody. Step right up and get your urine and breast milk tested. If you have breast milk, everybody's got urine, right? Find out where you are.
Act. You can do that. Act. Yeah. Take action, because that's when I went, our family went 100% organic, I have to say, because before that I thought, a little bit, wheat here and there, it's okay. But when my son, who was about my middle son, my first son had the allergies and he almost died from a nut pecans in the Thanksgiving stuffing. We recovered him by going non-GMO. And then my second son got allergy symptoms at around 8 and a half. And it was at the same time as, he got autism symptoms. And this was at the same time as when we found glyphosate in his urine, had 8 times higher than was found in anywhere in Europe. He was the first one tested in that initiative. And the doctor found he had gut dysbiosis, C. diff, fungus, all types of bacterial. His behavior was totally erratic. His grades had dropped from A's to D's. He had rashes and was angry and hitting people. And so I realized that glyphosate in the wheat was probably what was contributing to this because he was the only one of my sons that was positive for glyphosate, and he was the only one of my sons that was eating wheat. The other two sons had gluten intolerances. So we eliminated wheat and went 100% organic. And we also eliminated sugar, which during the holidays, which was really hard. But sugar feeds the bad bacteria, right? So you need to eliminate mm-hmm. sugar. And we also did an antifungal and probiotics and colloidal silver and all of that and sauerkraut. And within 6 weeks, we retested him. And his glyphosate levels were no longer detectable. And his autism symptoms were gone and have never come back. And so we're saving tens of thousands just on the autoimmune and the allergy doctor appointments, but hundreds of thousands on the autism symptom therapies that we would normally have to do if my son had continued to have autism symptoms. So,
and he got his life back.
He got his life back, and he's got
his life back. That's the good news.
And social and yeah, and he's able to fulfill on his potential.
You can't put a cost on a price important. On that.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was the test results that, you know, looking me in the face, 8.7 parts per billion in his urine, that was like, wait a second. Okay, this is it. 100% organic. That's what we're doing.
You know, you mentioned garbanzo beans, and I think the garbanzo bean is the most amazing food on the planet. You can do so many things with it. And we eat a lot of garbanzo beans in many forms, and the beans that we use, we always buy organic, but I was not buying organic garbanzo bean flour until maybe a year ago. And I flinched because I didn't even know that there was a lot of glyphosate in garbanzo beans. I just felt like I've got to be buying more organic. And I bought this one brand called Namaste, and the quality is just amazing. It's more expensive, but how much more? Mm-hmm. It's not that much more, and we're worth it. Our lives depend on
it. Absolutely. Well, it's actually cheaper to buy organic if you're comparing it to the standard American diet and going out to eat, and also to the doctor's bills. I mean, for instance, just the standard American diet, if you stay at home and chop up organic potatoes and make French fries, you know, baked in the oven with healthy oils, you can save $917 a year just on the servings of French fries twice a week for your family. And that's just, you know, versus eating out, and that's just the fries. You could save thousands of dollars a year just eating home twice a week instead of eating out at a restaurant and eating conventional food. You can also save, as I mentioned earlier, tens of thousands of a year. For instance, we used to spend between $10,000 and $15,000 a year just on the copays with good insurance for my kids' allergy and autoimmune doctor visits, right? They got sick much more often. Now, we haven't been to a sick doctor visit in 3.5 years. There's just been no reason. If they've gotten any type of, you know, fever or cough or cold, they get over it in one day. You know, the doctors usually say wait 24 hours before you go in, you know, to bring them in for symptoms. And we do. We wait, and then we don't have to bring them in because they're getting better. They're recovering. They don't have those types of illnesses for 2 weeks like some of their classmates do. And I attributed this primarily to eating an organic diet and paying attention to the gut microbiome, which means introducing the good probiotic type foods like sauerkraut and kombucha and apple cider vinegar and lots of fiber, lots of whole fruits and vegetables, and of course, organic food. That makes all the difference in the world.
I have a batch of organic cashew yogurt incubating in my oven right now. Mm. And it is
wonderful.
It is the most amazing food. It's just cashews and water, and then the probiotics, the bugs from my last yogurt batch. But it's addicting. It's the most delicious thing. We put it on everything.
Wow, that's wonderful. Well, you know, there's a lot of great alternatives out there. We do sourdough bread. You can make a loaf of sourdough bread for $1, and if you're gluten intolerant, not celiacs, but a lot of people would be surprised to know that they can probably digest ancient grains, like mm-hmm. I use Kamut International's ancient grains that are organic and do not have gliadin, which is in the modern wheat. And I'm able to consume that and not, you know, unlike the normal modern day wheat, which can give me rashes and, you know, fatigue and irritability and headaches and all that sort of thing. So there's a lot of alternatives now there that out there that are organic and healthier and less expensive than eating the conventional, you know, diet. And so I'm happy to talk to people who are, you know, finding alternatives and have good tips on, you know, on fermenting food or canning or preserving or, you know, making our own things. I think it's time to go back to the way our grandmas made food. And then the more that we do that, the more that we find out we're just fine.
I totally agree. And I love to say, people, find your kitchen. I know that people are overwhelmed with activities and feel like they don't have the time or the skills. But just like learning how to walk and run, it takes a little time, it takes a little practice, and the benefits are tremendous. And there's and bring the family back, bring your friends around, do things together. It's so much better than reading your phone all day. Get in the kitchen, get off your phone, get in the kitchen.
Yes. My 11-year-old makes the best French bread, just the best. And it's so fun just to cook bread with him together on Sundays. And to make oatmeal bars that I know my family, my kids will grab during, you know, throughout the week, and do a couple of pots of lentils. And, you know, just, it's really, Sundays is my day to make a whole bunch of things just to have them ready in the fridge for my family to take and eat whenever they want. It's so important. And I also want to encourage, you know, just one other, talking about making our own food, I want to encourage new moms to make their own baby food. Mm. There was a new report out just this past, within this month, from the Healthy Babies Bright Future nonprofit. They tested 168 baby foods from across the country, both organic and conventional, and 95% of them were found to be high in heavy metals. One out of four had all four heavy metals in them. And the heavy metals we're talking about are arsenic, lead, cadmium, and mercury. Now, keep in mind that small amounts of these heavy metals are common and can be found in nature. And, you know, are some of them, it's okay for them to be in our body in small amounts. But high levels are very concerning, especially for babies, because a baby's body is not fully developed yet, and they're not able to detoxify the way that an adult is. A lot of people don't know that a baby doesn't even have kneecaps until they're 3 years old. Mm. So how could their
you brought this up. I remember I was living in the south of France in the early 90s, and I don't have children by choice. And I remember being in the south of France and seeing my friends making baby food. They were just pureeing carrots and pureeing vegetables.
Yep.
And it was such a simple thing. And a light bulb went on, like, oh, we don't need to buy these things in little jars. The little jars are ridiculous. And now they're so often toxic, which is just very sad. Zen Honeycutt, I want to thank you very much for joining me today. And I'm so grateful for your book, Unstoppable, and for creating Moms Across America, and for everything that you're doing for our food system. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Karen. Thank you to all your listeners. It was such a pleasure. Take care.
Okay. Take care. Wow. That was something, wasn't it? Zen Honeycutt, the author of Unstoppable and the founder of Moms Across America. I hope you visit her website, and maybe you'll think about getting some of those tests to see how much glyphosate you've got. Don't you want to know? I do.